Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local now for a Thursday, inching ever closer to the weekend. That means Wayne Allen Root. He will have something to say. His first reaction to Pocahontas getting out of the race. Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Don't you just love it? Don't you just, yeah, another one bites the dust. And that means the two big choices, other than Tulsi Gabbard, and I don't know why, she must have forgotten to get out. I don't know why she's still in it, but Tulsi Gabbard's still in it. But really, the Democrats are down to two old white guys. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is the party of diversity.
Yeah.
That is the party of diversity. Okay, Kevin McCarthy is the House Minority Leader. He's the leader of the Republicans, and let's go to his weekly news conference in our nation's capital. Here it is.
Who does the birthdays?
We can talk about
this off air. I think we got to have a hearing on this. Is this truth in advertisement? All right. Thank you all very much. Good afternoon. We wanted to wish Chad a happy birthday. But he's not here, so we'll wait for that another day. We don't even know if it's really his birthday, because we don't even sure if it's in the column right, or if it's truth in the... How do you get the birthdays? Okay. But there's new people who have been born since then. All right, let's begin. When House members depart this week, the American people could feel better about the fact that we are now one step closer to delivering on the funds needed to put America's health first. I'd wish we were able to do this last week, but this straightforward emergency coronavirus funding bill passed the House overwhelmingly yesterday and speed up the development of vaccines, increase access to testing, treatments, and will expand access to telemedicine to make it easier to see their doctors remotely. This is very good news, but is also a reprieve that was unnecessarily delayed. Since it became clear that coronavirus was becoming more serious, I had urged our colleagues to leave politics out of the national discussion. That's the exact approach we took when we controlled in Congress and President Obama was in when we had Ebola crisis, and this is the same approach we're taking now. Unfortunately, on the Democratic side, we were not able to pass it last week. They control the floor. It gave the DCCC, their political arm, opportunity to spend campaign ads against seven Republicans, not sharing what that was about, but it gave them a political arm that they wanted to use. I don't think this is the place for it. I think they owe the American public an apology, and more importantly, we should spend that effort and time in solving this problem. I think the work that we have done this week, yesterday we brought in a number of the companies working on vaccines and treatment. Also, NIH and also the Vice President gave us a briefing as well as the Democrats. We had another briefing today. We learn more and more about this virus every single day. The challenge has always been China being very closed and not open from the beginning about this, not allowing our scientists or researchers or doctors in from the beginning. So now we're able to discover more and learn more about it. And I sincerely hope that the Democrats, that this is a turning page for them, that they could put politics aside and let's focus together putting the American public first. You just watched on the floor that we just won the sixth motion to recommit. But there's a real underlying message about how we won this motion to recommit. It shows that the socialist wing of the Democratic Party controls the floor. A Democratic member, Congresswoman Underwood, had the amendment and wanted to offer it. It was pulled back by leadership because the socialist wing of the party did not want to have that amendment go forward on this bill. We think all ideas should be able to move on the floor, and we think the power of the idea should be able to win. If you watched when it was offered, overwhelmingly, the majority of the House would like to see the TSA not hire terrorists or those who have been convicted of sexual misconduct with minors and others. But the socialist wing of the party that controls now the Democratic Party said that could not be offered. It took the only opportunity Republicans have because the majority controls the Rules Committee. So we used it as a motion to recommit, and it is the sixth time that we were able to win on the floor. That's six times more than that have ever happened when we were in the majority. Maybe if you have a more open process, maybe if you allow more ideas to come to fruition and let the body actually vote on these items, that you'd have a more productive Congress. But the most telling part of all of this is not the Democratic Party we knew in the past. It's not controlled by the Democrats that we know in the past. It is members in the majority who don't even call themselves Democrats. They call themselves socialist Democrats. But now their own ideas control the floor and deny other members their ideas from coming forward. So with that, let's open it up for questions. Yes, sir.
Again, Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, taking questions. This on Chuck Schumer's comments about the Supreme Court.
Who said this and where they said it? We have three co-equal branches. You had the leader of the Democrats in the Senate standing over the Supreme Court, I believe, before the Supreme Court's going to hear a case threatening two new judges. Threatening them. Is not mincing his words in any shape or form, being cheered by it. We are so much better than that. I don't care if it was a Republican or Democrat doing it, it is unacceptable, and it is a new low. It's inappropriate. It goes beyond just an apology. Is that what he really meant? We know Chuck Schumer. He's been a member of Congress. He's been a senator for quite some time, and he's been a leader. That's just so inappropriate. But to take it to that level, it almost brings a threat, not only to those members of the Supreme Court, to others, for others to act. I don't know if Democrats want to change their leadership over it, but I've heard some talk about it. So I would, from one standpoint of just censuring, I think there's other actions that could probably take place. I've always found inside our party, I think it's a place that you should look at. If that's who you want for your leader, if that's the action, the words that you support, then they would probably do nothing. But if they disagree with those actions, I think something should happen. Yes.
There you have it. Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, saying that he thinks something, maybe censure or even beyond censure, should happen with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer threatening Gorsuch and Kavanaugh as they're getting ready to deal with abortion. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break. We'll dip back in if we get to some meaty stuff with Kevin McCarthy, his weekly news conference.
Hi. And, put the dime in the silk.
Okay. Now we'll take a break. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Thursday. It is Live and Local now.
diamond is silk. If you can see mountains in Nevada, listen to Kevin Wall on the Nevada Talk Network.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't go a whole year without a healthcare program. Sign up with Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, they are not insurance. That means you can sign up any time of the year. Liberty HealthShare has no network. You are free to pick your own doctors, hospitals, and providers. And there are no contracts. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has memberships for singles, couples, and families of any size. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Our U.S. Constitution is amazing. It's full of what's called negative rights, designed to protect us from the corrupt powers of a dictatorship.
Like our right to worship our own God, not some official state religion.
Our right to prevent the government from seizing our property without paying fair market value for it.
Or our right to be tried by a jury of our peers, people like us, not by some star tribunal.
And that's why America has become the richest, most just society in the world.
Other countries force so-called positive rights onto their citizens. These enable one group to take from another group their free speech, money, and choice by using government force. Socialists love wielding this power over people.
Sometimes we take our freedoms for granted, but we can lose our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and become like Venezuela or North Korea, failed, brutal socialist regimes.
We need your help to spread the good news about our amazing U.S. Constitution. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
For years now, you've heard me talking about Real Water. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I just can't get over the clean, smooth taste and how great it makes me feel. I won't drink anything else. But there's more than just great taste to Real Water. There's real science behind why it's so good. It's infused with negative ions, which basically means it has a bunch of extra electrons. You see, those negative ions help you hydrate on a cellular level and provide a powerful antioxidant effect. I told my friends Brent and Amy, the owners of Real Water, that I wanted to offer my listeners a special on Real Water, and they agreed. So here's the deal. Go to Amazon and search Real Water. It's the blue rectangular bottle that says Real Water. Add it to your cart, and when you proceed to checkout, there'll be a coupon section. Put in 10WALL. That's the number 10WALL, all caps, no spaces, and you'll receive a 10% discount. It doesn't get much better than that. Great tasting Real Water with all its beneficial properties delivered right to your door. I know you'll love it. Trust me, you will taste and feel this difference.
The official radio stations of the Vegas Golden Knights hockey team pregame show begins tomorrow night at 4:30. Right here where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay? Dizzy. I'm so
dizzy. My head is spinning. Don't you just love it? It keeps getting crazier and crazier. You know, this all comes down to who is going to be best for President Trump to run against, Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden. And in fact, last night, I don't know if you caught this, but on Martha McCallum, Kellyanne Conway talked about that very issue. This is cut two, by the way. Kellyanne Conway last night on the Fox News Channel. Here it is.
So what's your response to those reports, first of all, that the president is concerned about a head-to-head matchup with Joe Biden because he is popular in some of those Rust Belt states?
I'm sure that's being pushed forward by the Biden people, just like it was being pushed by the Bloomberg people and $551 million worth of paid advertising, Martha, that Donald Trump fears Mike Bloomberg, he fears Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. The fact is, the president has said clearly, and I was just with him moments ago, that it doesn't matter who he runs against, because they have to run against the Trump economy, the Trump record on national security and terrorism, the Trump record on nearly 200 federal judges confirmed to the courts, the Trump record on these trade deals. This nonsense that President Trump wouldn't want to face Joe Biden in the Rust Belt states that were decimated by the Obama-Biden policies on manufacturing, on trade, on the economy. That's all been roaring back because of the Trump-Pence agenda. And the fact is that Joe Biden is not a high-energy candidate, but he still is a high-risk candidate. There's a reason that the mainstream media, and there's a reason the other Democrats were chomping and stomping all over him, because he had receded out of view.
And now the focus
for coming back, but he still is highly flawed. I think he's Hillary all over again. I think Joe Biden is Hillary 2.0.
He could be. We will see. But it is interesting. Obviously, when you're looking at your potential opponents and you're sizing them up, you're obviously having conversations about how you would sort of go after each one of them. You know, the backdrop of the economy is what it is, and it's a positive for the president. But you look at both of these candidates and you sort of size them up. And what the president has done a lot of lately is sort of talk about how Bernie Sanders isn't getting a fair shake, and they're doing it all over again to him, which makes people read into that and say, you know, it sounds like he would love to run against Bernie Sanders.
No, the read into that is much simpler. It's that the president knows how it feels to have the entire establishment, all the king's horses, all the king's men, and their money against you as a candidate, as the outsider, as the person who wants to shake it up. So in that way, the Trump's solid, intractable, loyal base and Bernie's base are similar. Trump's obviously is much wider, bigger, and deeper, and he's the president.
Let's
Bernie won't
that.
Be. But there's a difference here. Bernie's a socialist, and the president is a free market capitalist who's presided over the greatest economy of our lifetime.
There you have it, Kellyanne Conway. Now, the big question is, and this is really what it comes down to, is especially with Pocahontas getting out of the race. She has not done it officially, but she's told campaign staffers that she is getting out of the race. The big question is what happens next? Who does she support? For instance, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on with Chris Cuomo last night. This is cut six. And there is a big question surrounding Bernie Sanders. She is a big supporter of Bernie Sanders. Okay. Where did the young voters go? This was AOC last night on CNN.
Now, it has to be a concern for the Sanders campaign that so many people who broke late broke against him. That's not new. What is new, 2016 versus 2020, is the idea of the movement. And I say it all the time, Congresswoman, that Bernie is the only one who's got a movement behind him. Now the Biden people have beaten me up for it. Whatever, that's the business. They didn't show up for you last night. The young people who you are promising to the party that you can bring in didn't come in anywhere. How do you explain that with any optimism?
Well, I think one thing that we have to see, and one huge question, is the largest prize of the night, which is California. And we are going to be having hundreds of delegates decided, which was the largest prize yesterday, which Bernie Sanders won, not won by a little, won by a lot. We are going to see exactly what that lead looks like.
Yeah,
in
we have
the
to see. It'll
days.
Take days. You know, it's hard to know. He's certainly ahead, but you guys wanted like 60% of the delegates. You're looking at like 40, 45 right now, but let's play that out. Let's not play with the ifs.
Well, we
let's
can't get too greedy sometimes.
Well, but look, you know, it's a greedy business. You know what I mean? You need everything you can get because
for
you
sure.
are at a disadvantage
for sure.
going into the convention, and let's talk about why. Let's be honest about it here. The use of the word establishment, okay? I think the case can be made that you lost to Democrats last night. Not the establishment. There are too many different demographics that came to play on Biden's side. You can't dismiss them all as part of the problem. So you are injecting a progressivism into a party that is mostly center-left. Verse, let's talk about the language. Do you have to be careful about establishment because you make people feel like African-Americans, like all of a sudden they're part of the problem?
Well, I do think that there's a kind of a disingenuous conflating of what we mean. The fact of the matter remains that Bernie Sanders is now the only front runner in this race that does not take corporate lobbyist money. He does not take money from health insurance executives. He does not take money from fossil fuel lobbyists, and he does not have closed door fundraisers with elites. And I think that is an important distinction. Now, if you voted. If you did not vote for Senator Sanders last night, that doesn't mean you're part of the establishment. And I think every American knows that Washington there's a very strong grip of special interests in Washington. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders has a unique integrity. He is not bought, and he has zero corporate lobbyist money financing his campaign.
You think Biden is bought?
I think that there are real issues with where campaign money comes from, and I think it's not a secret. This is how many of even swing district members won their races in 2018 because they do not take corporate PAC money. There are some that are very progressive. There are some that are very conservative. But one of the through lines that we saw in 2018 was that if you won your race, you likely did not take corporate PAC money. It is a huge trust issue with voters, and I think that Bernie Sanders has that trust. What he says, he will do everything he can to deliver.
We are told that, by the way, AOC of the squad fame, we are told that at the bottom of the hour, Elizabeth Warren will come out from her home in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and make a statement and probably pull out of the race. We will go there live in just a bit. So stick around. We got so much to do. Breaking news all around us. And it's now a two-man race, essentially. Disregard Tulsi Gabbard. Two-man race. Two old white guys heading up the party of diversity. How are they going to explain that? We'll get to that and more coming up live and local now. Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again.
Let's taco about real food, real fast. Taco Time's fish taco is a mouth-watering blast. Real ocean cod tossed in a crunchy potato crust, cooked to golden perfection, wrapped in a home-style tortilla with shredded cheddar cheese, crispy crunchy cabbage, and sassy salsa fresca. We bring the awesome with our creamy lime and cilantro sauce. Now that's what I'm tacoing about. Try the fish taco at Taco Time, where real ingredients make better food.
Are you sick of a do-nothing Congress? I am. My name is Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your voice in Nevada's 4th Congressional District. Let me be frank. I'm not a career politician. I am a veteran who earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan, and I'm a business owner. I don't want to nibble at the edges. I want to get things done. I'm running to get real results on securing our borders, reforming Congress, balancing the budget, all while keeping our economy thriving. Join me by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. Senate today is expected to vote on a House-passed bill that would fund the coronavirus response in the United States. Here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
The House votes overwhelmingly, 415-2, to pass an $8 billion spending bill to fight the coronavirus outbreak. The two congressmen voting against it, Andy Biggs of Arizona and Ken Buck of Colorado.
A Republican lawmaker introducing a measure to censure Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer for saying at a rally yesterday that two Supreme Court justices will, quote, pay the price if they rule against abortion rights. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley tweeting that he's moving to censure the New York Democrat for the comments that were aimed at Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, both of whom were appointed by President Trump. and this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Does the sound of guaranteed income have you thinking about buying an annuity? Find out why Fisher Investments considers annuities about as attractive as a migraine. With their nosebleed-level fees, no easy way out once you're in them, and other pitfalls. If you have $500,000 or more, call Fisher at 1-800-859-5500 for your free guide, Annuity Insights. 1-800-859-5500. It's your retirement. Know what to ask.
NASCAR heads to its first short track race of the season. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today, Midday.
For five decades, the Motor Racing Network has been the voice of NASCAR. And now, it's time to tell our story.
They are in turn two in front of Mike Joy.
With help from some of the sport's iconic voices.
Oh, crap! And I spin around.
Here comes Richard Petty.
I'm Fred Armstrong. Join me for MRN's newest podcast series. MRN presents 50 Years, the Voice of NASCAR. Available for download on MRN.com. And wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
America is a great big country.
Filled with all kinds of different people.
And we all count.
That's why the 2020 Census
wants to make sure we're all counted.
Why is it so important?
Because the Census helps inform how hundreds of billions of dollars will be spent each year for things like
new roads,
health clinics,
even more school programs.
So make sure you're counted.
Because you count.
Shape your future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
The NASCAR Xfinity Series and Cup Series head to the 1 mile Phoenix Raceway in Arizona this weekend. And for the Cup Series, it's the reintroduction of a reduced downforce aerodynamic package, similar to what the cars used 2 years ago and similar to what the Xfinity Series currently uses. Cup Series rookie Christopher Bell is looking forward to Sunday's race after finding success there in the Xfinity Series the last 2 years.
With the new rules package, it'll be a lot more similar to what we did last year in the Xfinity car, and it kind of hopefully levels the playing field for all of us.
Our coverage from Phoenix begins tomorrow with Cup Series practice sessions at 3:30 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Sunday's FanShield 500. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet@gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that. By the way, the president tweeting out overnight, wow, if Elizabeth Warren wasn't in the race, Bernie Sanders would have easily won Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Texas, not to mention various other states. Our modern-day Pocahontas won't go down in history as a winner, but she may very well go down as the all-time great spoiler. That's absolutely incredible. They are camped out in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and we may be going there live. We may not. They were expecting a statement from Elizabeth Warren from Pocahontas at 9:30 our time. That has not happened yet. It may happen in the next few minutes. If in the next 25 minutes we have an opportunity, we'll take you there live, obviously. Suffice to say, this is going to be a big, big statement. Does she endorse Bernie or Biden or none of the above? By the way, this hour is Live and Local Now, brought to you by Escape Adventures. Are you and your family looking for an extended outdoor experience? Then check out Escape Adventures. Owner Jared Fisher and the pros at Escape Adventures can provide you, your family, even your business with a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Find out more at escapeadventures.com. That's escapeadventures.com. I want to go to the audio sound bites because the president met with the airline industry yesterday. Let's go to cut seven. In dealing with the coronavirus, dealing with the airline industry is important. A lot of airlines cutting flights to Korea and to China, and there's a travel ban, all kinds of stuff. But let's go to the president yesterday at his meeting with the airline industry. Here it is.
Is your message that to Americans that it's safe to fly, and can you convince the traveling public?
I think where these people are flying, it's safe to fly, and large portions of the world are very safe to fly. So we don't want to say anything other than that. And we have closed down certain sections of the world, frankly, and they've sort of automatically closed them also. And if they'll understand that, and they understand it better perhaps than anybody, yes, it's safe.
Absolutely. And are American businesses overreacting if they're cutting down domestic travel and they're telling people not to fly to conferences inside the United States?
A lot of people are doing a lot of domestic business now. I can tell you, they're staying in this country. They feel safe because we have if you look at a percentage, we have a very, very small percentage. And a big percentage of what we have is when we brought in the 40 or so people from the ship. We brought them in, we immediately quarantined them, but you're adding that to the numbers that we had, which were very small. Now what we're going to do is as people get better, because we have, you know, most of these people are getting better. Some are already released, some are going home, some are, you know, get a full 100% report. We're going to take them off the list. But we have a very small number of people in this country. We have a big country. The biggest impact we had was when we took the 40-plus people. They're Americans. I mean, I could say don't let them into the country, but these are Americans, and they were literally stranded. And it was very unfair. We brought them back. We immediately quarantined them. But you add that to the numbers. But if you don't add that to the numbers, we're talking about very small numbers in the United States. We've all done a very good job, all of us. And I think the news has been, and for the most part, the media has really treated us very fairly.
What? Did he say the media treated him fairly? That's something you won't hear the president say very often. The media treated us fairly? Whoa. Still waiting on Elizabeth Warren when she comes to the microphones. If she comes to the microphones, we will try and take you there live. But AOC, though, is fascinating. As you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is one of the Bernie supporters. She has endorsed him. She has appeared at his rallies, and there's just no other way to slice it. Bernie had a horrible Super Tuesday. Now, the president is right. If Pocahontas had gotten out of the race earlier, he might have done much better on Super Tuesday. We might not be talking about any of this stuff, but she stayed in the race. Tell you what, let's do. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go to we're going to go to Elizabeth Warren now. Let's go to her now. This is Elizabeth Warren in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
My campaign for president. I say this with a deep sense of gratitude for every single person who got in this fight, every single person who tried on a new idea, every single person. She just moved a little in their notion of what a president of the United States should look like. I will not be running for president in 2020, but I guarantee I will stay in the fight for the hardworking folks across this country who have gotten short end of the stick over and over. That's been the fight of my life, and it will continue to be so.
Senator, do you have any plans to endorse?
What guidance would you give to your supporters who don't know who to support now?
Well, let's take a deep breath and spend a little time. We don't have to decide. And I wonder what
your message would be to the women and girls who feel like we're left with two white men to decide between.
I know. One of the hardest parts of this is all those and all those little girls.
Her husband is standing beside her.
Not today. I need some space around this, and want to take a little time to think a little more. I've been spending a lot of time right now on the question of suspending, and also making sure that this works as best we can for our staff, for our team, for our volunteers.
So, Senator, what?
I'm sorry.
It could be coming, but just not right now.
Not right now.
Senator, what? Right,
I know that your campaign manager, Roger Lau, said on the staff call today that he had no regrets. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, I do. I have no regrets at all. You know, this has been the honor of a lifetime. 10 years ago, I was teaching a few blocks from here and talking about what was broken in America and ideas for how to fix it. And pretty much nobody wanted to hear it. And I've had a chance to get out there and talk with millions of people. And, you know, we have ideas now that we talk about that we just weren't talking about even a year ago. A 2-cent wealth tax and universal child care that could be real. We could make it happen. And canceling student loan debt for 43 million Americans and raising Social Security payments. Those are life-changing events for people, and we can actually do this.
Okay, Elizabeth Warren, making the announcement official that she is suspending her campaign. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We may dip back into Elizabeth Warren. Stick around. We got more to do as we continue live and local now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again. The official radio stations of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm Byron Bergeron, and I'm a lawyer. Now I know that people don't like lawyers, but think of it like this. I'm here to level the playing field so you get a fair shake. Let me give you an example. You get into a wreck. Your insurance company wants you to think it represents you, and its priority is your best interest. You know, good hands. The truth is, its priority is its checkbook. And its shareholders. If it's to their advantage, they will throw you under the bus so fast, you'll think the mayhem guy in the TV commercial is driving. I have only one client, you. And I can keep these companies in line because I have only one shareholder to answer to, me. I answer my own phone. I return my own phone calls. And other than my wife and two babies, the most important people in the world are my clients. 775-229-3736. 775-229-3736. When you need the field leveled so you can get a fair shake, call me.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit. And 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-712-8087. 800-712-8087. 800-712-8087. That's 800-712-8087.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now. now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-223-3831. 800-223-3831. 800-223-3831. That's 800-223-3831.
Are payday loans ruining your life? Do you want control over your money again? If you have two or more payday loan cash advances, listen closely. You may be eligible for a program payday loan companies don't want you to know about. A program that may help get aggressive and unfair payday loan companies out of your bank account and get you back on track to financial freedom. Payday loan companies may trap you into paying outrageously high interest rates, and they take way too much of your hard-earned money every week. We understand their tactics and know how to keep them off your back. We'll fight hard to help you regain control of your money. If you have two or more payday loan cash advances, call right now for a free consultation.
800-380-4429. 800-380-4429. 800-380-4429. That's 800-380-4429.
Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Kevin Wall for giving the world the wake-up call it so badly needs.
Hi, Anderson. I'm ready for my interview. Are you ready? Well, let's go. They call me AOC. It's special to be me. I'm fantastic, so enthusiastic. I have a Green New Deal. I'll tax you.
Don't you just love this? Don't you just love this? AOC trying to make excuses for a poor performance by Bernie Sanders. I absolutely love it. By the way, this hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by the MultiCare Group. If employee retention is important to your business, regardless of size, call my friend Pat Casale at the MultiCare Group. No matter where you live across the state of Nevada or in SoCal too, ask about high-quality group health insurance plans. Here's the number, 702-396-9449. I'll give you that number again. It's Pat Casale, the MultiCare Group, 702-396-9449. This is what, right now, it looks like Biden is going to take the nomination. It looks like that's the way it's going to play out. Again, we don't know what Pocahontas is going to do. She's out of the race, but she has not yet endorsed anybody. She may not endorse anybody. But Sean Hannity last night on his Fox News TV show gave an amazing rant on Biden's mental acuity, his mental health. And I want you to listen, because this has got to be scary for any Democrat ready to anoint Joe Biden as the leader of the Demo-rat movement. This was Sean Hannity last night on Fox News Channel.
Privately, Democrats are even telling me that Biden is a train wreck candidate. Before coming back to life in South Carolina, the Biden campaign was dead, it was gone, it was buried, and for one simple reason, he is an awful candidate. There are serious, significant issues percolating around quid pro quo Joe. Let me put it this way. I'm not a doctor, not going to perform any kind of armchair psychology, but as I have been saying, if the 78-year-old Democrat ever had a fastball, even a slow pitch, seems to be long gone. The daily gaffes, the weird outbursts, the public memory lapses are beyond troublesome. He once said that he was vice president in 2018. He confused Margaret Thatcher for Theresa May on multiple occasions. He's mixed up the state of Vermont and New Hampshire. He mixed up Ohio and Iowa. He confused Houston and El Paso for Michigan and Ohio, and numerous other state disasters. At times, he seems not to even remember what day it is. Oh, Super Thursday, Tuesday. Last weekend, he called our own Chris Wallace Chuck Todd. At the beginning of his victory speech last night, he even got his sister and his wife confused in another embarrassing moment for his campaign.
By the way, it's my little sister, Valerie, and I'm Jill's husband. Oh, no, this is not. Oh, you switched on me. This is my wife. This is my sister. They switched on me.
I will give credit to Jill Biden and her quick efforts to protect her husband and one of their campaign ads. It was absolutely commendable. Where's the Secret Service? He's a former vice president. He's a presidential candidate. He needs better protection. It is a long, it is a grueling campaign. Mistakes will happen for every candidate. We're not talking about an occasional slip up here. This is now a pattern of daily embarrassing gaffes that is only getting worse and worse and worse. And this is the more recent stuff. Take a look.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. 150 million people have been killed since 2007.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris, but anyway. Chris.
I just did Chris. Yeah.
Look, tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all. I tell you what, I'm rushing ahead, aren't I? All men and women created by the goal. You know the thing. You know how we talk about it. Are we the people?
Well, it's obvious the strategy of the media mob that support all things Democratic Socialist and, of course, the Democratic Party, they'll just act like it doesn't exist. As a voter, it is fair for every American to ask whether or not this 78-year-old has the strength, the stamina, the focus, and the capacity to handle what is by far the toughest job in the world. Now, to me, quid pro quo Joe seems to be in a rapid state of decline and not up to the rigors needed even on a campaign.
You know something? This whole thing is psychological.
Yeah, it is. And the dumb thing is the Demo-rats are ready to hitch their wagons to this guy. No, they want to hitch their wagons to Joe Biden. By the way, I've got really good news. You want the good news or the really good news? Well, I'll put it this way. The New York Post is reporting today that the Monday Night Football booth that ESPN is trying to put together is incredible. How about Al Michaels and Peyton Manning? Would that be a great Monday Night Football group? I think that would be absolutely fantastic. Don't know if that'll happen or not. Not quite sure if that'll happen. By the way, the Dow is down 915. 915. Now, you want the good news? The good news. Nevada's unemployment rate hit a record low in January, down to 3.6%, the lowest since 1976. The gains were in construction, professional and business services. Yeah. In fact, we gained 22,800 jobs over the past year. 22,800 jobs just over the last year. Okay, the big story everybody's talking about is the coronavirus. I want to go to Cut 8. This is Richard Shelby. He is the chairman of the Senate Appropriation Committee. The House has already passed nearly $8 billion in aid for coronavirus. But this was Richard Shelby yesterday from the Senate Appropriations Committee.
Mr. President, the American people are apprehensive about the spread of the coronavirus in the U.S. and abroad, as we can always remember. Global financial markets are on edge. Both are resilient, but vigorous action, I believe, is needed to calm nerves, stabilize the situation, and get our arms around this crisis. I believe Congress must marshal the resources here necessary for an aggressive, comprehensive, and swift response. I'm pleased to report to my colleagues this afternoon that we, with the House and leadership, both sides, have reached a bipartisan, bicameral agreement on an emergency supplemental appropriations package to do just that. The agreement provides a surge in funding at every level, as I have advocated, local, state, federal, and international, to meet the growing challenge that we could face. The total amount, Mr. President, included in the package is $7.76 billion, a little under $8 billion. We arrived at that figure by going back to the agencies, the NIH, the Center for Disease Control, and so forth, and said, what do you need, what do you think you would need if this virus really spreads? And we wanted to make sure that they had the tools and the resources, that we would not shortchange the American people in any way. So the $7.76 billion we've been told by the people that know, that should be sufficient. We hope it is. Mr. President, nearly 85% of this funding will be spent right here in the United States, 85%. $2.2 billion is for the Centers for Disease Control that the presiding officer is very familiar with because it's located in Atlanta, Georgia, including no less than $950 million, just short of a billion, to help state and local governments prevent and to combat the spread of the virus.
Okay, there you have it. Richard Shelby, he is the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, and as such, they are going to be passing either today or early next week that almost $8 billion aid package, emergency aid, to fight the coronavirus. What is absolutely reprehensible is Nancy Pelosi withholding, you know, because again, in the House, the Democrats dictate what comes to the floor. She held back until after the debate so they could raise money. They were ready to pass the bill, but they didn't. I wonder how many people died because Nancy Pelosi waited. Anyway, stick around. More to do as we continue. Coming up, Wayne Allen Root. We'll get to him and a whole lot more coming up. Live and local. Now.